So we're starting a new series in our all-age services on the church, what it is. And so this morning we're going to think a little bit about what is church. So here's my first question. Now, I don't want you shouting out, okay? Or here's the chance. All you need to do is write yes or no on your sermon sheet. Yes or no, that's all you have to do, yes or no. You can talk with your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother about this question, nothing else. Yes or no, okay? So when we talk about the church, is this church? Is it referring to a building? When we define what a church is, what is church? Is it a building? One like this, our one, or one like this, Church of England one? Is this church? Yes or no? Or is church a particular room in a building? So the inside of church, so here you have, this is a very formal church, Church of England. They have an altar up here. There's pews and seats in a row. Is this church? Is this what I mean, the particular part of a building? Or when we say church, are we referring to the different types of church? So a Baptist church, or a Methodist church, or a United Reformed church, or an independent. Is that what we mean? Is that the church? Or when we say church, do we mean what we're doing now? The meeting, where we kind of, church is a time when we sing songs and pray and hear a talk about Jesus. Is that what we mean when we say that is church? Or sometimes, is it, maybe it's this. Sometimes we say, look, welcome to our church, but we love the fact that you've joined us. What do we mean? That you've joined our club? Is that what we mean? You joined our society, like a football club or after school club? Is that church? Yes or no? What do you think? Don't have any answers now. What I want you to do is put those down and see that what you got there, see whether it lines up with what we say at the end. Okay? So, what is church? Why is it important? See, if you don't understand what church is and how beautiful it is, you won't see how important or necessary or essential to following Jesus, that church is. So what is church? Well, let's have a look at how Peter describes church. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Make sure, nudge your parents, give them a nudge, make sure it's open. Page 1218, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Look what Peter says. And how does he describe the church? Does he describe it as a physical building? Does he describe it as just a meeting? Does he refer to different types of churches? No, look what he says. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Peter seems to be suggesting that the church is the people who believe in Jesus. See, look what he says, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone. Who's the living stone, do we think? Anyone want to guess? Shout it out. You know you're going to... What did you say? Jesus. Brilliant. The living stone is Jesus. And he's not a brick. He's not a kind of a literal stone like this one, is he? You know, that's not what he's saying. That's what Peter's saying. He's not saying Jesus is a stone like this. No, he's using it as a kind of a metaphor, an example to describe Jesus. He's the living stone. He's alive. We'll see what that means a little bit more in a minute. And when Peter says, as you come to him, Peter means as you trust in Jesus, as you believe in him. And verses 6 and 7 make that clear. Look down. See where Peter quotes the Old Testament. That's what those bits slightly in are doing. They're from the book of Isaiah. And there Jesus is spoken of as stone, a precious cornerstone. That's a funny phrase, isn't it? A cornerstone. Here's a cornerstone for you. A cornerstone is the stone that holds everything together in a building. It's kind of the foundational stone, right at the core here, right at the corner, you see, and all the other bricks are built off it, but it's the keystone. If that stone goes, everything falls. But if that stone stays and is strong and firm, the building will stand strong. And Jesus, Peter says, is the cornerstone. And so he's precious. Peter's saying you can build your life upon him. If you trust him, you can build your life upon him. And Peter says those who come to Jesus, who believe in him, will think of him and know he's precious. That is, that they'll believe that he is the Son of God. They'll believe that he is the Son of God who came to die on a cross for our sin, for our rejection of God. And that in dying, we can be forgiven, we can have friendship, and we can be brought into God's family. And so because of that, they'll think of Jesus as precious and important. That's what he says, verse 7. And they'll want to build their life upon him like a cornerstone. But Peter also says, have a look, verse 8. Sorry, verse 7. There'll be others who do not see that. There'll be others who do not believe in Jesus or trust Jesus, and they'll reject him. They'll be like builders who see a stone and think it's rubbish, and they reject it. They reject the very stone God says is precious and important, the one to trust in for your life. Now, for those who believe in Jesus, who think he's important and precious, Peter says, as we come to Jesus, who's this cornerstone, the foundation, God is putting on his builder's hat, like this. You with me? And he's starting to build. See verse 5? He says, you're being built into a spiritual house. Okay, so God is building a spiritual house. That sounds a bit strange. Now, hold on, we need to remember something. In the Old Testament, the people of God came to a temple. This big building made of real stones where God was said to live with his people. So when you went to the temple in the Old Testament, that was where you were to meet with God. And it was made with actual stones, bricks. But now Peter is saying, those who believe in Jesus, because he died on the cross, are being built into a new building that God is putting together where he lives with them, with Jesus as the precious cornerstone, and God is using a very different kind of brick to build this house. Would you like to see some of these bricks? Yeah? Would you like to see some? Okay. Where are Emily, Hannah, Simon, and Tony? Come on up. Don't be shy. Now here is Jesus. Can you see it? I can't lift it up. Stand up. Jesus, this is our cornerstone, okay? Here is Jesus, our cornerstone. Okay, you with me? Old Testament, God built a literal, physical building. New Testament, because of Jesus, he is the cornerstone. And he builds with different kinds of bricks. He builds with people who believe in Jesus. Hannah, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Stand on this brick. Here's the first brick in this new spiritual house that God is building. Emily, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Then stand up here next to Hannah. Brilliant. Tony, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
And is it your birthday?
Yes.
Happy birthday. Come and stand up here. You're right up there. There we go. Simon, do you believe in Jesus?
Absolutely.
Come and stand on here. Now here we have... Oh, I need my notes. Here we have, look, the new spiritual house being built on the foundation that is Jesus with these new living stones, which are bricks, like Jesus, people who believe in Jesus. This is what Peter is describing. This is the church. Well, I thought you looked impressive. And then we have those who are older, and you have those who are younger, and you have men, and you have women, and you have people from different backgrounds and different all coming together as those who believe in Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, where did you meet with God? You went to the temple, a literal building. And you'd point to it and describe, there's God's house. But in the New Testament, because of Jesus, where do you meet with God? You point to a group of people who believe in Jesus, and you can call them God's house, his spiritual house. So no longer do you point to a physical building, a temple, a place, but now God has built a new house, as it were, made up of living stones, people who believe in Jesus. Peter here is given the picture of the church. The church equals people who believe in Jesus. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. You are great living stones. So when people talk about church and they point to a building, is that the church, according to Peter? Yes, no? You can say yes or no at this point. No. No, that's a church building. It's not the church. And so next time you're out and you point to a kind of classic Church of England, but it's St. Wilfrid's, don't point it and say, there's the church, because it's not. It's a church building. The people who believe in Jesus are the church. And when people say, come to church, meaning, hey, come and join us on a Sunday morning, what they're really saying is, come and meet the people who believe in Jesus. And here's the thing, attending a meeting does not make you part of the church. I mean, we love the fact that people come and join with us on a Sunday morning, but just by being here does not make you part of the church. Only by believing in Jesus, him dying on the cross to forgive your sins, can you be part of the church. Because church equals people who believe in Jesus, and people who believe in Jesus equals church. See, if you believe in church, you're part of the church. To put it another way, joining the church isn't another decision you make after becoming a Christian. Peter says, as we come to Jesus, we're being built. Coming to Jesus, believing in him, means you are automatically included in this new spiritual house that God is building. See, often people ask, they say this, they'll have conversations like this, they'll go like this. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Kind of conversation. Maybe you've had one of those conversations. And often the discussion goes something like this. Well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but it's a good thing to do. And that reflects how many people think of church as kind of something you have to attend. You don't really like it, but you know it's good for you. It's like eating your vegetables or your fruit. You know you have to, you don't really want to, but hey, you go. But what would Peter say? He would say, if you believe in Jesus, you are part of the church already, whether you like it or not. So how are you going to live out your membership? That's the real question. How are you going to live out as someone who is part of God's people, his church? But how are you going to do that? Now, in our church, listen up, as a people of God, that is expressed through identifying yourself as a particular member of this particular church, of this particular gathering of God's people, so that you might serve, so that you might be cared for and loved with. But in one sense, see, you're already part of the church if you believe in Jesus, but how are you going to live it out? And maybe you think, well, I want to be part of the church, but I don't agree with everything. Well, that's okay. Find a church where you feel that you can agree with everything and belong to that church. But you have to work out what it is to serve Jesus and live for him as part of the local church, because you're already part of the church if you believe in Jesus. Church equals people We're going to spend our last 5 minutes or so together just thinking about what it means to be a people who belong to God. See, the church is a people who believe in Jesus, but Peter also says the church is also a people who belong to God. See, have a look at verse 9. Have a look at verse 9. You see the four different ways that Peter describes God's people. Can you shout them out? Verse 9. What does he say? Four different ways. First one. Sorry. Chosen by God. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. And God's special possession, is it? Yeah? Four different ways. Chosen by God, that is, God has chosen us to be distinct and different to the rest of the world. A royal priesthood. So in the Old Testament, you had priests who served in the temple. They offered sacrifices on behalf of the people so you could enter God's presence. Now Peter says not just one particular group of God's people can, all can. All who believe in Jesus. See, you have a new relationship with God. You can have direct access to God. You're his royal priesthood. And we're a holy nation. Set apart. Made special for God. And we're God's special possession. Literally, we're his treasured belonging. And although there are kind of different ideas, they're all describing just one big idea. And that is belonging to God. He has called people, brought them into relationship with himself, called to belong to him. Sometimes people say to children, don't they? Have you ever had this, kids? Someone say to you, who do you belong to? You ever had that? And what they mean is, who is your parent? This is my grandfather. I love my granddad. I was very close to him. And I loved it when I was a little boy, and people would say, are you Cleve's grandson? And I would, yeah, yes, I am. Or they'd say, who's your granddad? And I'd say, it's Cleve over there. I loved the fact that people knew, as it were, that I belonged to him. Now, maybe there are times when your mum or dad do something amazing. I know it's not often, but maybe they come into school, and maybe they give a talk, or they show something, or they help out. And your friends start talking about how cool they are. And up to that point, you wanted no one to know that you belonged to them. But suddenly, your parents are all right. They're pretty cool. Everyone's going, how amazing that your mom and your dad was in worship that morning. And suddenly now you want everyone to know, I belong to them. Yeah, that's my dad. That's my mom. It's never happened to me. But I'm sure it's amazing when your kids do that. But you do that. And God says those who believe in Jesus belong to him. The church, people who believe in Jesus, belong to him. And as those who belong to him, look what he says, verse 9, we are to declare his praises. That is, we're to declare that we belong to him, that we're his, that we would declare to all how he has made us his people. So we want to declare how he has made this particularly different group of people from different backgrounds and different stages of life and ages his people. If you are a church member and you come from a different country other than this one, stand up now. Come on, we know you're there, I know you're there, church member, different country. These are people who believe in Jesus, who come from a different country, a member of this church. Okay, thank you, sit down, thank you. Stand up if you are a member of this church and a teenager. If you're a member of the church. People who believe in Jesus, who are teenagers. Okay, sit down. If you are a member of the church and you're in your 20s. Only for another week, Katie. It's a little too much of a yes there, wasn't it? Yes. Look at them, mate. Great, sit down. If you're a member of this church and you're in your 30s. Praise God, sit down. If you're a member of this church and you're in your 40s, come on, don't be afraid. Here we go. People who believe in you, right, sit down. If you're a member of this church and you're in your 50s, where's Sarah? Come on. Sit down. If you're a member of this church and you're in your 60s, come on, Steve, don't be ashamed. Praise God. Sit down. If you're a member of this church, you believe in Jesus, you're in your 70s. Woo! Sit down. If you're a member of this church, you believe in Jesus, and you're in your 80s, stand up. And if you're a member of this church and you believe in Jesus and you're in your 90s, just wave your hand. Stand up, Edie, yeah! And David Nash. Now, isn't that amazing? Honestly, when you think about it, we have people from their teens all the way to their 90s. We have people from different countries who speak different languages, who believe in Jesus, and we are gathered together to declare his praises. And as we gather together, we do something special, don't we? We're saying, actually, we all belong to God. Doesn't matter how old we are, what country we come from, we belong to God. See, verse 10, once we weren't his people, now we are his people. And we're to tell everyone about that. We're to tell everyone how he has done that through the work of Jesus by dying on a cross, declaring his praises that we belong to him. And yeah, we can do that individually. In fact, Peter goes on in his letter to say that, verse 12, that our lives are to be lived in such a way that we bring praise to God, that people would see how we live and say, yes, you belong to God, you belong to him. But Peter says, by together, we declare his praises is even greater to a watching world. That one of the most important reasons why we come to church and gather as his people is to show the world that we belong to God's people, that we're different and distinct, that we're chosen, that we're a royal priesthood, that we're a holy nation, that we're God's special possession. And as we come together to sing God's praises, we declare we belong. And as we serve together and love one another and care for one another, as people from different backgrounds and different countries of different ages, serving one another and serving together the Lord Jesus and loving one another deeply, we declare we belong to him. It's what Jesus said. He said that the world will know that you are mine when you love one another. And you can only do this together as a people. That's why church is so beautiful. It's so beautiful because it's not about attending a meeting. It's about a people who God has made his own, individually and brought together, to be a people who from different backgrounds and different ages and different races and different nations, who speak with different tongues, who are able to declare his praises together. That is a beautiful thing. And it is different to what the world is doing and saying. And it's different to what the world is seeing. Which is why we want to gather together. Because it's about living out who you are as those who have come to Jesus, the living stone. It's about being that spiritual house. It's about being taught about what it means to live as that. It's about being encouraged to keep on living as that, to declare his praises, to declare him to a watching world as those who belong to him, gathering and loving one another. See, why would you not want to gather as God's people? at every opportunity that you have in order to declare his praises.